danger that is being expressed. It determines what type of reaction you will generate. Mm-hmm. In relation to alcohol, the danger is the exposure. And remember, exposure is not an outward expression. It is not true confessions. It is not what you express to other individuals. No, exposure is what you present to yourself.
Yeah.
And in that, that aspect of exposure, that element of exposure becomes the threat, and that signals danger. Mm-hmm. And what the body does is it reacts to that signal and immediately implements this action of remove the primary awareness and replace it with a quality. No personality.
Yes.
Therefore, in a manner of speaking, you are correct when you express that off switch,
mm-hmm.
that you are turning off. For in a manner of speaking, you are. For you are removing the personality and the awareness that accompanies that personality and replacing it only with a quality. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Therefore, replacing it only with an action. Therefore, you continue to function. You continue to speak.
Breathe,
you continue to act. You continue to function. But there is no awareness of what you are doing. And it is as if you are generating a blank. The body consciousness does retain the memory of those actions, mm-hmm. but the recall of them is difficult, for there was no awareness or personality involved with those actions.
Yep.
And in that, it is convenient that you have chosen that expression to be ascribed to a substance rather than yourselves, and that substance is so prevalent and readily available that it can be incorporated at any time.
Mm. And it often is for that exact purpose, because of the feeling and the belief that they are either a threat to themselves or a perceived outside threat.
Cool.
I figured you were going to say something like that.
I would express also, there are individuals that engage this particular substance that can engage it consistently, not necessarily in increasing volumes,
mm-hmm.
but that can engage perhaps on a daily basis with a consistent amount or a consistent volume,
yeah.
that if they are comfortable with themselves and aware of themselves and comfortable with their choice to be engaging that substance, merely in the acknowledgement that they like it.
Yes.
In in similar manner to individuals like tea,
mm-hmm.
or they like
smoke
coffee,
tobacco, or whatever.
But you do not ascribe to tea all that you do to alcohol.
No, it's not as much fun.
But if the individual is engaging it in that manner, that they are engaging it consistently,
mm-hmm.
but that their motivation for engaging it is that they like it, they like the taste, they enjoy what sensation they ascribe to it,
mm-hmm.
but that they are not attempting to maintain the sensation.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, these individuals also do not create
that blank.
Yes, they do not.
That's interesting, because I was having a conversation with my friend Arif. Excuse me. And in fact, and I don't know if this is allowed, but I won't know unless I ask, he drinks consistently, and I mean, he just tries to taper off now and then, and you know, we'll go for a week or two or a month, 2 months without it, by his description, just to see if he can. and then he'll resume. And he's usually very jovial in any situation involving it, albeit I think he does forget things. He'll say things and he'll ascribe it to being a Gemini, which I think is baloney. But you know, I know there's a lot of dynamics there involved between us in our many, many experiences together. But he did ask, because I thought that his volatility, which you referred to another time, was because of alcohol, but I think that may just be an instrument, in a sense that even though he may enjoy it and use a substantial volume of it, perhaps not within his awareness that he's utilizing it in that way to cover hurt and pain, and because of the repetition of it, that it's creating this sort of welling up, and it's partially fear and anxiety and things like that that equate to the eventuality of an explosion. And I'm guessing that is what his volatility is about. He asked me that if it was okay to ask you about the source of his volatility, because he is aware of it. He doesn't feel as though that's a very prevalent expression of his, but my spin on that was that was because he stuffs it so continuously with the alcohol, with that in mind, albeit he'll say that he enjoys it, and
that may be also
true. But, and as you said, some of the aspects that the scientists have come out with do carry a little bit of weight, and he's using that as a mask more of the time than he's using it for sheer enjoyment and the pleasure of it. And in so doing...
Let me express to you an indicator of... in a manner of speaking, how you could gauge whether an individual is engaging a substance such as alcohol merely in relation to pleasure, that they enjoy it, they enjoy the taste, they enjoy the
conviviality.
Affectingness of the substance in relation to what they believe its affectingness will be.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals, even if they engage it on a daily basis, the individuals that are engaging it in that capacity,
mm-hmm.
merely as an enjoyable action in similar manner to an individual drinking tea. And the reason I use tea as an example is that there are different types of teas that also do generate different effects.
Yes.
Once again, for you believe they do, but regardless, there are different types of teas that do generate different types of effects physically with an individual. And in that, they are enjoyable to the individual.
Mm-hmm.
The ritual is enjoyable, the taste is enjoyable, the action of consuming it is enjoyable, and the effect is enjoyable. But in like manner to an individual that is drinking tea, the individual that is drinking tea enjoys the ritual and the effect of the tea, but is not continuing to consume the tea to maintain the affectingness.
Yes.
For the individual understands in consuming the tea that once they generate the point of the affectingness,
yes,
that affectingness will be maintained for a brief time framework, and it matters not how much tea the individual consumes,
mm-hmm.
it will not recreate the affectingness, and it will not maintain it.
Mm-hmm.
It is only maintained for a certain time framework. Alcohol is the same.
And people,
the individual continues to engage it with the idea that the more they engage it, the more they will maintain the affectingness of it.
Yes.
Which is incorrect. What occurs is very similar to an individual that would be consuming considerable volumes of a tea to achieve the same maintaining of the affectingness. Eventually, they would consume so much tea that they would become uncomfortable, and their body would begin to reject it. And in that, the body would react, the individual would become uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
it is likely that the stomach would spasm, which would also be invoking a vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
It is likely that the individual would generate very similar effects in creating throbbing, but some triggers can be much more obvious than others.
Mm-hmm.
A more obvious trigger could be an action or a tone of voice or a situation,
yes.
that may influence the individual to react.
Mm-hmm.
But there are many, many, many triggers that are much less obvious, such as a smell or a color,
mm.
or a movement.
Yes.
That they can be interacting with another individual, and the other individual may inadvertently and merely move their hand.
And they snap.
In a certain manner, and that can be a trigger.
Yeah.
There are so many of them, and they can be so inobvious, and in that, that is what creates the volatility.
Gotcha. Well, I would like to move on.
Very well.
Thank you. I have been generating an interest that's increasing in Qigong energy movement, and I have found it to be very beneficial to me. I also realize that I can create it to be almost anything I want, and in the case of my experiences with it thus far have been increased intensity in my energy, but also in a good way, but sometimes to an uncomfortable level. And I think my crystals, being focusers of energy and attention and what have you, increase that to some degree, because I found myself having some difficulty sleeping and engaging my dreams as fully as I like to, because I think I'm too encased in this energy bubble that's very high velocity, if you will. Am I somewhere close as to what the cause of, like, the sleeplessness or the agitation almost? I mean, because to a degree I find it, just like using the substance, very beneficial and very enjoyable in a very positive and, you know, awareness-based way. But I'll get to a point with it where it's like I'm getting overly flooded with it, and my crystals are in my house. It's not like I can just send them away. So, you know, I mean, might it be a good practice for me to, like, ground that by putting them outdoors some of the time, or...
Most definitely.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Okay.
I would express that this is an excellent action to engage with crystals, is to allow them to also release energy.
Mm-hmm.
To not always be receiving it and building it.
Oh, okay.
But to also create a flow. Many, many, many of your crystals are the types of crystals that are conduits. Therefore, it is important for them to have an in and out flow.
Yes.
And in that, I would express that, yes, placing them outside. In actuality, with these types of crystals, quartz crystals, you can engage two different actions. You can engage an action similar to the rose quartz, in which it releases energy very naturally in sunlight.
Yes.
And very quickly. You can also, with the quartz crystals, place them in water.
I just told Arif that, because he, you know, I had mentioned that, you know, we were talking about the volatility thing, and I said also, and I made a connection, but not intellectually, but energetically, that if he put his crystals and he just suddenly started, while we were sort of in the very beginning of that conversation, was gathering them. And I said, and I suggested that he just place them in water or in sea salt, and to ground that energy and to release what they have attracted in terms of any negativity, any energies that are not in harmony with what you're trying to create here in your environment. And he agreed, and he said he was going to do that. Yes. Excellent.
Yes, therefore, I would express that you can place them in a tub.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that if you place them in water, it is advisable to place them in a volume of water, mm-hmm. not merely a bowl.
Okay.
Unless it is a considerably small crystal.
Hmm. Or a really big bowl.
Or a very large bowl. Yes. But with any crystal that is of any sizable volume, it would be advisable for you to place them in a volume of water, therefore a tub.
Or a stream or a brook. I've done that too when I could. When the
most definitely.
Oh,
yes.
That was very beneficial. I could feel the difference between putting them in a bowl of water or salt from when I put them
in the river. Most definitely.
So.
Yes. In that capacity, if that is available to you, that would be much more advisable.
Awesome. Thank you. I have a question about my son. I'm not sure on the time thing how we're doing. I just want to make sure I get to that. I'll get to my achy, painy part later if I have more time. My son expressed some resentment that I haven't been going to his home, like, whenever I've been out and about, particularly in coming to sessions. There was the group session, and I've had a couple sessions since then, and he's expressed sort of a jealousy or a disappointment that I haven't been right there with him, where his schedule has been so, and maybe I'm using this as an excuse and I'm avoiding him in some way because there's an attitude with him that, you know, feels uncomfortable to me. And I know he needs to express himself as and experience what he's created for himself. And I try to share as much about the information as I can that he seems to be interested in knowing, but I don't want to instruct. And I'm trying really hard not to do that. And, you know, and he claims that he gets it and that he's one of these kids that came in with the awareness. And to some degree, I think that's true. But he's feeling resentful right now because he's creating obstacles for himself in his creations in terms of employment. And, oh, I have a college degree, and there's no one wants to hire me unless you have a master's, and I can't afford to go back to school. And I think he's looking for somebody to blame, and I think I'm handy. Is that a relatively accurate assessment?
Yes.
And, I mean, I want to help him more, and I intend to see him this weekend and just shower him with love and give him money, which they always want. And the kids.
Have you also shared with him what you are feeling?
I kind of did, but it was the way I put it was a little bit brusque for him, in that he kind of referred to it in our lovely expression as rubbing shit in his face. By saying, you know, well, you went to go snowboarding with Mallory instead of coming to see me, and you had to drive right past here. So I kind of did a tit-for-tat thing with him.
Which is not what I asked. And I would express that it is understandable that you would receive the reflection that you did, if that is what you were expressing.
I understand.
What I am expressing is that it may be beneficial if you allow yourself to genuinely share with him. You expressed to myself that at times there is a genuine uncomfortableness to be interacting with him.
Mm-hmm.
I would express that that would be significant to allow yourself to define and then allow yourself to share what is uncomfortable and acknowledge that within yourself, that not expressing you did this, I did this.
Right.
Not expressing you could do this, therefore stop asking me to do this. And no comparisons. But rather to express at times I am hesitant to engage you or to interact with you, for I am uncomfortable and I have defined that this is what is uncomfortable. That gives him information. It also allows you to express yourself more genuinely. And it gives you information in relation to what you may be uncomfortable with and what aspects of that can you engage. What parts of that uncomfortableness can you change or can you do differently that will alleviate some of that uncomfortableness? This, in your terms, playing the tit for tat game is destructive.
Yes, I know.
And it merely breeds resentment.
And it couched within that tit for tat little thing was my genuine expression of that uncomfortability to a certain point. I mean, it was very brief, but I think I got the point energetically across. And I referred to, you know, his sort of judgment of me as feeling uncomfortable and the fact that he smokes a lot of marijuana. And I have no problem with that, but when I'm there, I always have my dog with me and it very much affects the animal. And I expressed that to him many times, and he kept the dog for a week, and the dog came home, and he was all whacked out for weeks after that because he was getting continuous marijuana in his body. And I mean, I understand that the tit-for-tat thing is destructive, and I don't generally go there with him, but he was so abrupt with me on the phone as I was telling him I'm coming back.
I am understanding. It is a reaction.
Yeah.
But I am merely suggesting that you allow yourself to evaluate. You are very aware. You are.
Thank you.
And you are, as we began the conversation, becoming more and more and more aware in noticing more and more. And it is, in your terms, becoming second nature to you to be noticing. And in that, encouraging you in that, I am suggesting that you allow yourself to define what is uncomfortable within you. What aspects of that are elements that you can address to or perhaps alter? And what aspects of that uncomfortableness are parts that he is participating in? For you are participating together.
Sure.
And in that, identifying more clearly what elements is he expressing that you are uncomfortable with, and what is it that generates that uncomfortableness, such as your example with the dog. You may say to the other individual, I do not want you to engage the marijuana around the dog.
I did.
Precisely. And the other individual will hear that and ignore it.
Yes.
For what you are doing is you are expressing a command to the other individual. And they immediately recognize that and reject it and ignore it.
Ah.
For they are being commanded.
Yes.
And very few of you respond to commands.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they are considerably interlaced with fear. But if there is no fear, most individuals immediately reject commands.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, I would express that for you, this is a legitimate expression. It is bothersome to you, and you have reasons that it is bothersome to you. Therefore, in this, rather than expressing, I would appreciate it if you would not engage marijuana around the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Rather, recognizing what is uncomfortable. I am uncomfortable, for I love and care and have affection for this dog. This is my companion.
Mm-hmm.
It is important to me. And it is bothersome to me if the dog is behaving in a manner that is contrary to its natural expression.
Absolutely.
This is bothersome to me. And I am important. If I am important, I am also valuable. If I am valuable and important, then that is to be reflected by the individuals that I choose to incorporate around me.
Mm-hmm.
And if the individuals around me are not expressing that importance and that value mm-hmm. of me, then they are not benefiting me, and that is uncomfortable.
Yes.
In this, when you express to another individual, they are important to you and you value them, but you also recognize your own value and that you want to be important to them.
Mm-hmm.
That when an individual dismisses you,
yes,
they are expressing that you are not important and that you are not valuable. Therefore, when you generate a request and the other individual is dismissing you,
mm-hmm.
but it is a matter of also acknowledging that you did not generate a request, you commanded.
Yes.
But reevaluating and readdressing the situation and expressing, I acknowledge that, I recognize what I did.
Yes.
And what I want is to express this request. And in that, when I offer a request to you, if you value me, and if I am important, you will honor that request.
Yes.
If you do not, then I am not important. And I do not want to be unimportant to you.
Yes.
That expresses very differently to the other individual. And now the other individual is encouraged to actually evaluate in a realistic manner mm-hmm. and in a genuine manner rather than reacting.
Dismissing, yeah.
Rather than merely reacting and dismissing you, it encourages them to consider what they are actually expressing. And in that, recognizing their choice, that this is their choice to dismiss you, mm-hmm. that this is their choice to not be valuing you, and likely your son will not want to not value you. Your son will not want to be expressing that you are unimportant.
Yes.
And therefore he will respond differently. This is the expression of living artfully, is recognizing what you are expressing, acknowledging yourself and acknowledging the other individual in valuing both. Not compromising, not acquiescing, not commanding or demanding,
mm-hmm.
but acknowledging and requesting and inviting and sharing in an expression of valuing in both directions. You do not only value your son, you value you also. And you want the individuals that you value to value you also.
And isn't that a big, huge part of the shift? I mean,
very
massively
much so.
Huge, because yes. everybody's expressed so much selfishness or self-absorption that the idea of the value of the other individual got left out of the picture somehow.
Yes.
And then you got segregating into castes or
yes.
castes, however
far
they say
you
it.
Move from placing other individuals as primary and first and more valuable than yourself, moving, swinging the pendulum to the other extreme of valuing yourself to the exclusion of other individuals, and that other individuals do not matter,
mm-hmm.
to moving to the balance that it is a balance. It is both. It is that it is all valued.
Mm-hmm.
And that it is a matter of witnessing and reflecting.
Absolutely. That is so cool. Were my five camels in my dream, someone, Marklin, actually told me that I must have just gotten over something. Because I had five camels in the dream, but one was about to burst. And I didn't get to that part with him, but he did say that, oh, it is resembling of getting over a hump when you dream of camels. And I was like, in the situation, they were kind of threatening, but there was one that looked like it was about to explode. And then I woke up, so I didn't get to see if he exploded or not. But did I get over something? Or I had a second idea that it was, and usually my second ones are a little bit off, but they could be interrelated, was that it had to do with the consumption of liquid, of water, because camels hold a lot of water. And
hold.
I'd been querying with myself about the weight that I have on me and
holding.
Stuff. Holding. Okay, so release.
Not necessarily.
Pop that camel.
Getting over, but yes, releasing. And in that, the holding of energy, the holding of anything.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, I think we are out of time, and oh my God, there was... Ooh, where is it? Iliani wanted me to ask if he was either Gauguin or... Oh, damn it. He's an artist. Or everybody had the impression that he was a particular artist. And I wrote it... I have no idea where. I think it was Gauguin.
Relax and you will find it.
Iliani, where are you? These are all notes from my last session. Oh, I didn't write it down here. Never did get to the fragmentation thing, but you gave me them, so I have something to explore as a treasure hunt.
yeah, I just wrote it on the front. Not likely.
Gosh darn it. Sorry. It should be right here. Frailty. I remember Frailty. I'm still spreading that around. My bed and breakfast is going to come to me for free. Well, the money's going to come to me for free, so it's going to seem like free. But, Well, that's kind of strange. So I know I wrote it down so that I would find it, and I'm not finding it. It's got to be right here. I decided I'm not moving because I'm no longer afraid of being put in jail for my estate thing, so I'm going to make my bakery kick ass and take names this year, and
excellent.
I'm sure that it will.
Excellent.
People are already asking me, well, what's the story with the bakery? Well, we're going to expand it and do more fun stuff, including selling crystals. No, that's John Hathaway again. God darn it. Maybe I'm not supposed to ask. It's going to be right on the side of the page I see right after I leave. Chagall. I think it was Chagall. Iliani.
It's either, focus?
Yeah, it's either Chagall or Gauguin.
First observing, second counterpart.
Ah, thank you. Chagall was observing and Gauguin counter.
Correct.
Awesome. Thank you. Oh, it's frustrating because I'm like, I thought I was pretty organized, then I knew myself.
Ah, but you began expressing you were not being organized. And I began expressing congratulations.
And well, I have found, the idea of having to be so organized kind of threatening in that I'm just, and although I'm not a dispersed essence, I like flitting. I'm more like a butterfly than I am, an owl that just sits there rolling his eyes for hours and hours. And that's not me. But I'm enjoying expressing myself in genuineness.
Excellent.
And I have appreciated Michael getting me in for another session so soon, and it's always a delight to feel your energy. And now, very quickly, has Michael, when you're expressing through Michael, does touching another person affect Michael in some derogatory way?
No.
So I could shake Elias's hand as well as Mary's hand and
yes.
not... Oh, may I?
You may.
Oh, God. Thank you. That is such a thrill.
Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you. You made my month.
You're very welcome, my friend. I shall be anticipating our next meeting.
As shall I.
And I express tremendous encouragement to you and acknowledgement. Well done.
Thank you very much.
In tremendous affection and lovingness to you, as always. Au revoir.
Au revoir. He's rolling.
I know.
Hi, Mom, you're back. Here's your pumpkin.
Wrong one. Here, this is the right one.